Some thoughts on Reformation Day. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday evening, October the 29th, 2017.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to gather in your presence tonight. Lord, we pray that you would bless us with your presence. We pray that as we spend just a moment together, that you might encourage our hearts, that we might be the people that you desire us to be, a people who believe, who profess, and who live out the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Growing up in a Baptist church here in the buckle of the Bible Belt, I didn't think much about it. In fact, I don't know that I ever really gave any thought to it at all. As I played in the neighborhood with my friends I went to school with, I played ball with, I ran the neighborhood with kids that were Catholic and Methodist and Church of Christ and Assembly of God. And of course, there were a number of normal kids. They were Baptists. But I didn't think anything about that. I don't even remember why or where, but I remember the first time I saw one of those forms that asked for your religious preference. And as I looked at the form, it listed Catholic, Protestant, Jew, or other. And I remembered staring at it thinking, well, what am I? Am I other? Or do I write in Baptist? Just who am I? I wasn't sure. Really the first time I was confronted with that notion. Later, in college, I came across a little book by J.M. Carroll, and the name of the book was The Trail of Blood. And in The Trail of Blood, J.M. Carroll says, we Baptists, we were never tainted by the Catholic Church. We have always existed separate from and distinct from the Roman Catholic Church. We've been our own folks all the way back to Jesus. And that sounded pretty good. It sounded so pure. And I wanted to believe it. But the more I looked into it, the more I studied it, and as I looked at the various groups that were mentioned in the book, it didn't take me long before I decided I'd rather be identified with the Catholics than some of the folks I saw in that book. Still later in college, I came across some writings by people that I really admired and respected. I appreciated their insight into Scripture. I appreciated their ability to handle the Word of God. But I noticed that they were very anti-Catholic. And that was something new for me. In fact, some of them referred to the Pope as the Antichrist. I thought, well, that sounds serious. I guess I really do need to understand what the differences are. And I guess I really need to know something about why it matters. This year marks the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. In fact, it was 500 years ago this coming Tuesday, October the 31st, on the eve of All Saints' Day, that Martin Luther struck the match that ignited the Protestant Reformation. The groundwork for the Reformation had been underway for quite some time through various movements in late medieval Christianity. There was increased interest in learning. There were the various reform movements that sprung up here and there. There was the Renaissance and a new interest in learning. There was the invention of the printing press. All kinds of things came together at just the right time, and Europe was ripe for reformation. All it needed was a spark. And that spark came when Martin Luther, a German monk, nailed 95 theses to the door of Wittenberg's castle church. Now that sounds strange to us that this Catholic monk would nail something on the door of the church, and that would be really important in history. But you need to understand that the door of the church was the public bulletin board. That's the place you put important announcements. And so Martin Luther had been complaining about some things, writing about some things, preaching about some things for some time, and he put together a list of grievances, a list of concerns about the church. Now here's the thing. Not a lot of people were reading and writing at the time. Add to that, he wrote them in Latin. So only the educated people would have known anything about what any of this was talking about. And so when Luther wrote his 95 theses and nailed them to the door of the church, what he was calling for was scholarly debate on some important matters within the church. Luther was calling the church to have public debate over important issues. Now, the interesting thing is the 95 Theses are not focused on great, profound doctrinal truths as much as they are some of the errant practices within the church. Front and center was the selling of indulgences. John Tetzel was making his rounds through Germany and that part of the world, and he was traveling on behalf of the Pope, selling indulgences as a way of raising money for St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. And an indulgence is a get-out-of-purgatory card. An indulgence was a way that you could pay money, and through the paying of that money, the Pope could release your loved one from purgatory. There were sins holding them in purgatory. Sins not bad enough to send them to hell, but sins that were bad enough that they needed to work those off before they could enter into heaven. And so if you paid the right amount of money, if you purchased the indulgences necessary, then the Pope would release your loved one. In fact, Tetzel had an interesting little jingle that he sang as he went around. As the coin in the coffer rings, so the soul of your relative from purgatory springs. A little bit of money can go a long way. And Luther called into question that whole practice for a number of reasons. But at the heart of it, Martin Luther said, the Pope has no such power. And if he does, why doesn't he just exercise it instead of charging a fee for it? If the Pope really has the power to release people from purgatory so they can enter into heaven, why in the world wouldn't he just do that? That's at the heart of the issue. Well, word about the 95 Theses reached Rome. Pope got word of it. Pope sent a representative to Wittenberg to debate with Martin Luther in the hopes of, in the words of the Pope, silencing that wild boar loose in the vineyard of Christ. Let's shut this German up. He's really interfering with the sale of indulgences. The hope was that he could get Luther to say something in the midst of this debate that would cause him to be discredited, and therefore he could be excommunicated from the Roman Church. Well, Martin Luther, being Martin Luther, obliged. He said things that clearly enraged the Pope and contradicted the Pope. And so the Pope issued a papal bull, an official announcement, declaring Martin Luther a heretic and excluding him from Christ's church. And when Luther got it, he had a big party in the middle of town and burned it and said, that's what I think of the Pope and his power. And the Reformation was on. Now that's my thumbnail sketch of the Reformation and how it came about. But the whole story is a fascinating story. It's worth your study. It's a fascinating tale, full of intrigue, political wrangling, kidnapping, charges, countercharges. It really is worth your study. It really is worth your reading and finding some things out about what went on. But I want to talk for just a second about the importance of it or why it matters. Why are we 500 years later talking about it, and why has there been such celebration around the world connected with it? Frequently, the Reformation is described as a movement that revolved around two pivotal issues. And in the world of the church and scholarly debate, they're called the material cause and the formal cause. The material cause was the debate over sola fide, justification by faith alone. The formal cause is sola scriptura. The Bible and the Bible alone has authority to bind the conscience of the believer. Those are the two key central issues. For Luther, and later Calvin and their heirs, the other reformers, at issue was the very gospel itself. At issue is, how are we saved? The Roman Catholic Church believed one thing. The reformers believed something else. Out of this debate grew the five solas of the Reformation. Sola scriptura, scripture alone. Sola gratia, grace alone. Sola fide, faith alone. Sola Christo, Christ alone. And sola de gloria, to the glory of God alone. Now, I want to be as fair and as accurate as I can be. So let me say that the Roman Catholic Church taught that the Bible is the Word of God. Rome did not deny the Scripture. Rome said the Bible is God's Word. And they believed it to be inspired, and they believed it to be the very Word of God. But they also believe that the Church is the interpreter of the Scripture. The Scripture is the Word of God. It is God speaking. It is God's revelation. And the Church is the only one who can give true, accurate interpretation of that word. So in practical terms, the Church of Rome elevated their own teaching on the same level as Scripture. And I would argue they actually put their own teaching above Scripture, because if they alone can interpret what it means, then their word is really more authoritative than the Scripture itself. So they said, the Bible's God's word, but you need the Church to interpret it. The Church also taught that salvation was by grace. But it was not by grace alone. And that's where the issue really comes. The Roman Catholic Church taught then and still teaches today that righteousness is infused. We become righteous through faith, through believing, through trusting, and through cooperating with the sacraments of the Church, and we become righteous. It is an infused righteousness. It is a righteousness that is put within us so that we are made righteous. Luther and the Reformers taught that righteousness is imputed to us. It is credited to us. It is counted to us. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed, and in believing he was declared right or just in the sight of God. Justification, as the Reformers understood it, and as they believe Scripture teaches it, is a forensic term. So, our justification is a matter of our being declared justified, our being declared righteous because of Christ. The Roman Catholic Church teaches God can only pronounce us righteous when we are in fact righteous. Only when we are infused with righteousness and by cooperating with the Church and cooperating with the sacraments and by believing, then we are actually made righteous, therefore God can call us righteous. Now that may sound to you like theological hair splitting, but it's really not. It is an important distinction. So much so that the Roman Catholic Church understood exactly what Luther and the Reformers were saying. And so at the Council of Trent, which met between 1545 and 1563, the Roman Catholic Church officially declared that the teaching of Martin Luther and the Reformers was heretical. And they therefore anathematized it. In other words, they damned it. To this day, according to the Church of Rome, we who believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we are outside of the Church because we believe a damnable teaching. That's what they said at the Council of Trent, and the Council of Trent has never been rescinded. The official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church still says salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, is a damnable teaching. And we are outside of the Church. Roman Catholic Church says no man has God for his father that does not have the Church for his mother. If we are outside the Church, we're outside of Christ and therefore damned and under the judgment of God. It's not theological hair splitting. What the Reformers and what I believe happened in the Reformation was a recovery of the biblical gospel. What Rome sees in the Reformation is an abandonment of the biblical gospel. In other words, we believe a different gospel. We can't both be right. And if we're to take Paul seriously in Galatians chapter 1, it really does matter. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, Paul says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed." So Paul says, even if we, now this is not likely, the if here is really an iffy if. If we or an angel from heaven should come down here and preach to you a gospel different from the one that was preached to you earlier, let them be accursed, let them be damned. By the way, he said they come seeking to distort the gospel. The word distort means to add to. What was the problem in Galatia? The Judaizers had added to the gospel. They said belief in Jesus is absolutely necessary, but it's not enough. You must believe in Jesus, and you must adhere to the ways of Judaism. Belief, faith, and something else. It's a Jesus plus theology. Paul said, if somebody comes preaching to you, as unlikely as this is, if we did, or even if an angel from heaven did, let them be accursed. And then he said, I said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, this time it's not so iffy. In fact, it should be read, I said before, so now I say again, there is someone in your midst right now, in your church, preaching a different gospel, and they need to be damned. It's a serious matter. So according to the scripture, according to Paul, it's not a matter of sincerity. It's not a matter that as long as you truly believe, as long as you are genuine in your heart and you really mean it, that this is what you believe, that's really all that matters. According to the Apostle Paul, what you believe matters. What is your authority? Is your authority the Word of God, or is it the Word of the church? There are other differences, but this is the core. This is the heart of the matter. Now, I'm a Baptist, and I'm a Baptist by conviction. I'm convinced that as a Baptist, I am a child of the Reformation. I'm convinced that I am a Protestant because I believe that it's clear, I believe it can be demonstrated that we as Baptists are direct descendants of the English separatists who came out of Anglicanism, which came out of Catholicism as a part of the Reformation. The other stream into our Baptist life, and this is clear, we're part of the English separatist movement, and at the same time, we are part of what is known as the Anabaptists, the again baptized, who are part of the radical Reformation. The Anabaptists were people that said Luther didn't go far enough. We're heirs of the Reformation. I'm convinced by Scripture that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. I'm grateful for Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and Knox and all of their heirs. I'm grateful for the recovery of the biblical gospel. I believe the church must always be reforming. And by that I mean we have to constantly bring our lives and the church in line with the Scripture. Further, I'm convinced that the church, that is the visible church, the local body of assembled believers, will always be a mixed people this side of heaven. In other words, the tares will grow alongside the wheat, and we won't ultimately know until that great day of judgment. The perfect church does not exist. So in humility and grace, we strive to live godly lives. We strive to order the church according to the Word of God. So, bottom line, what is to be our attitude toward the Church of Rome? How are we to think of our Roman Catholic friends? I think that the Church of Rome is a false church. And I believe that because it denies the biblical gospel. I believe there are genuine Christians who are members of the Roman Catholic Church, people who genuinely know Christ as their Savior, and they're part of the Roman Catholic Church, but I'm convinced they're part of the Roman Catholic Church and true believers in spite of what their church teaches and not because of what their church teaches. By the way, I don't believe that all Baptists are genuine believers. I'm convinced that there are false professors among us. And I do believe that there'll be a great number of Baptists on that day that'll be standing in that crowd saying, "But now, wait a minute, we did all these good things in your name, only to hear the Lord say, 'Depart from me, I never knew you.'" So don't think that I'm standing here tonight and saying, "I'm pro-Reformation and I'm glad because those lousy Catholics..." I'm not saying that. I'm saying I believe the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church is a false gospel. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying we have everything right, but I do believe we have the gospel right. So what are we to do? I think as we approach the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, we should pray every day, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner," and understand that salvation is by grace alone, and to God alone belongs all the glory. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your mercy and grace. I thank you for your kindness. Lord, I'm grateful for what you've done through the history of your church. I'm grateful that in spite of our failings, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our short-sightedness, you have accomplished great things through your church. And Lord, I'm grateful that because Christ is Lord of his church, the church will prevail. Not because of us, but often in spite of us. Not because of our intelligence, not because of our strength, not because of our faith, but due solely to the grace and the power of our God. And Lord, I pray that we would never be arrogant or boastful, but in love and humility, we would do our best to seek the truth, embrace the truth, proclaim and preach the truth of the gospel, and give ourselves wholly to the truth of your word, that our lives might bring glory and honor to our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the TBC Tulsa podcast, which features the preaching ministry of Pastor Rod Harris at Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.